I want to make a few comments before we start that category on the consequences of sin. I'm going to give you a famous line that Thomas Brooks said in the book, I've done it before, but I'm going to do it again. Don't ever forget this. In that book, Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices, and he said that the devil show you the bait, but he'll hide the hook. And that's certainly the truth. In fact, I've been counting with a man the last few weeks who has really made a mess out of his life, and he's trying to make a comeback, and I hope he will, but there will always be some consequences and some scars he can't get rid of. And he certainly did tell me that's the truth. The devil showed him a lot of bait. There's a big old hook in there. He didn't see it. He got hooked, and it just about ruined his life. So we all need to remember that. Sometimes sins appear attractive to us. So I'll make that statement. Remember, the devil will show you the bait, and he'll hide the hook. But I got another statement that Herb Hatfield made, and I don't know whether this is, I doubt that's original with Herb, but he's the first one I ever heard say that, so I wrote this down when he said it. He said, sin will take you further than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and make you stay longer than you want to stay. I think that's a real good statement. Read that to you again. Sin will take you further than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, make you stay longer than you want to stay. So we need to all remember that. And just remember, you know, we can't outsmart the devil. If we start trying to deal with him like Eve did in the garden, we're going to get beat every time. What we got to do is believe God's word and be obedient. Like sometimes our children, we tell them to do something, and they may not be old enough to understand it, and they say, why? And sometimes we say, just because I said it. Now, we can explain it to them sometimes. Sometimes they don't have the capacity to understand certain things. That's the way we are all that way with God. The devil has always told God's children that God has killed joy. That's what he did in the Garden of Eden. And he's still working that way today. You know, he told that he said if he knows that when your eyes are open, you should be as God, knowing good and evil. In other words, God is really holding something back from you, which is a lie. But he's still telling us that lie today. So let's remember that the next time we're tempted to sin, because we will be in our everyday tempted to sin, because there are pleasures in sin, but they're only for a season. Like it said in the book of Hebrews, that Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, because he had respect for the recompense of the reward. So there are pleasures in sin, and sometimes we get overwhelmed by them almost. I've been praying a whole lot lately for myself and for others. That verse in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And we need to pray that prayer all the time. So anyway, let's get down to Proverbs. Now, that category, the consequences of sin, I'm going to get you to read like you have been reading. I've been really enjoying that. Joe, you got a Bible, you old buddy? Get Proverbs 5:22. And Nathan, while you're right there with him, get 8:36. All right.
His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins.
Okay. I bet many, many a drug addict or alcoholic could attest to that, but not only people like that. It doesn't take a sin like that to get us trapped. We even hear people talk about people getting trapped on pornography and stuff like that. It's a terrible thing today. And there's a lot of other things, too. Maybe greed, stuff like that. So, his own iniquity shall take the wicked himself. He shall be holden according to his sins. None of us think we get trapped, but none of us are above anything. I remember when I was going to college, this may be, it's apropos, but a lot of times my schoolmates would take some pretty strong stuff to keep them awake for exams. I was afraid of food and that stuff. I never did take anything. I drank a lot of coffee. I overdosed on coffee lots of times. But I was honestly afraid of even taking no dose, just about. Because I knew I might could get hooked on something like that. So we got to be careful. We don't know how weak we really are. None of us do. And we have to avoid sin like the plague. Like we've even covered in one of those scriptures in Proverbs. He said, run from it, turn from it. It's a real strong verse we read here not too long ago. Because we could get caught in the court of our own sins. And if you're caught, you can't get out unless God just rescues you. So we need to remember that. Okay, Nathan, how about 8:36?
But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death.
Isn't that amazing? That's an amazing verse, isn't it? I don't know whether I've got it down here or not. Oh, how did you say? I don't remember. But one proverb says that righteousness tends to life. And that's right. Righteousness tends to life. And this verse tells us here. Let me read it to you again. It's amazing. Because we got to remember that the devil doesn't hate any friend. Some people might think, well, the devil's my friend. He's not anybody's friend. He hates everybody. He even hates himself, I suppose. Not capable of any kind of true love. But so when we sin, we're not doing anybody a favor. He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. And all that hate me love death. And that, they may not just say, well, I want to die. But the point is that what they do is tending to death. And like I said, righteousness tends to life. The devil, he likes death. He just, the Lord, in him is life, the life of the light of men. He's the source of life. And so there's just two options here, life and death. In fact, our last great enemy is death. Thank God he's overcome that. We have everlasting life through him. But we need to remember how serious this sin really is. Okay, Susie, why don't you read for us 13:25. Anytime anybody wants to stop me and make a comment, feel free to do that.
Of the wicked shall
not. Okay. Okay, Becca, how about 14:12?
Here is the way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
All right. That reminds me of a song that Debbie Boone sang. I'm enough surprised today because Pat Boone claimed to be a Christian, and Debbie Boone did. Maybe she really is, but I never will forget her song when I was in college that she sang that you can see what the implications are. If it feels so good, how can it be so wrong? Something like that, which is a terrible song. So lots of things feel great. You know, a lot of people say, well, I fell out of love with my wife, I fell in love with my neighbor's wife, something like that. But we can't go on feelings. Sometimes people are just convinced this is right. People said this is right. And, you know, we live in this postmodern culture, and people say, well, this is right for me. Something's not right for anybody. But they say, well, this may not be right for you, it's right for me. We can't live that kind of life. That's a postmodern, that's not biblical. So there are some ways that do seem right to a man. The end thereof are the ways of death. So we can't just do what we think is right. We've got to go by God's word. Okay, back, go ahead and read verse 30 while you're there also in that same chapter.
A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones.
So envy's going to do some harm too, isn't it? Envy's going to do some bad. Okay, Sister Judy, how about 15:10?
Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die.
Okay. That could have been another category. Some of these are overlapping, and this could have been in the category of somebody that does not harm the learner's spirit. But it's good. It goes in this category also. We did the best we could at Harmony Hill to kind of categorize these. Sometimes we did overlap. While you're there in that chapter, read those next two words. Read verse 25 and 27 also for us.
The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live.
All right. Somebody's going to be taking bribery. Hateth gifts shall live. Okay. Sister Rachel, how about 16:5?
Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished.
All right. Talk about the consequences of sin. He won't be unpunished. Mercy, let's see. How about 18:6-7?
A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul.
All right, we can get in big trouble sometimes with our big mouth, can't we? In fact, I'll just tell you, some of y'all probably gone through what I've gone through this. I had a temptation this last week, and I didn't, thank God I didn't fall, but I came close. And what happened, I was driving down the highway, and I was in the passing lane, but I was trying to get back on in the regular lane where it's supposed to be. And the guy he was behind me about 30 seconds only. And when I went over, he gave me this really, he beat his horn, gave me this really angry look, and he just, I was just cussing me out. I felt so much like chasing that guy down and telling him off. Man, I wanted so bad. I couldn't think if that meant Judy, I would have done it. But since she's with me, it helped me not do it. I was so mad. But my big mouth got me in trouble. And, you know, this road rage just kept me in trouble. So I'm glad I kept my mouth. And I begged God to forgive me. I said, well, I'm sorry I even felt that way. I wish I hadn't got that mad. Why did I get mad about that? But I did. Just hurt me. That face provoked me to wrath. So our mouth can get us in trouble. We've got to be very careful. I bet none of y'all ever had that problem, probably, but mine, I had it. I have to admit I did have that problem. Okay, let's see. Sister Patty, how about 1929 for us?
Judgments are prepared for scorners and stripes for the back of fools.
All right, okay. All right, let's see. Kim, how about, let's see, what am I doing? Who's that? 2017, look at that. Yeah. How about 2017? Chapter 20, verse 17.
The bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel.
Well, here's somebody that thinks they're getting by with it. They're being deceitful, they're being secretive, and they think they got by with it, but they're going to find the consequences are going to be pretty bad. Sister Sandra, how about 2020? This could have been another category. I think it fits here too, though.
Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness.
Okay, that's pretty bad. Whatever that is, it's bad. They could be put in a category of vague parents, but it also fits real, right there real well also. Brother Dave, how about 21:13?
Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard.
All right, that could be his consequence. He's going to be needing mercy himself someday and won't get it. Okay, Jake, how about you, buddy? How about, and you got three verses for me. You got chapter 22, verse 16, 22, and 23.
He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want.
All right. How about verse 22 and 23?
Rob not the poor because he is poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate. For the Lord will plead their cause and spoil the soul of those that have spoiled them.
Okay. Oops. Anybody got any comments on this category? I think it's pretty plain. Go Timothy.
When you're talking about the verse about he that hates me loves blessing.
Right.
Reminded of what Jesus said in John 10, the thief comes not but to steal and to kill and destroy, and I'm coming that I have life and have more
money. That's right. Amen. That's real good. Anybody got any more comments on the consequences of sin? Well, sometimes they obviously do, don't they? Certain sins especially are more apparent what the consequences are. Some of them may not be. And even, you know, the thing about it, we got to believe God's word. Sometimes we may not see the consequences. But some of them are obvious that we see. Some of them we may not ourselves see them. Because the Bible also teaches over in, say, Psalm 73 and 37, it looks like the wicked are getting by with it sometimes. They're not. We got to believe what God's word says. You know, eventually they're going to be a payday. Sometimes the consequences are obvious. Lots of times they are. In fact, I'll tell you what I really believe. That verse in another one, because this is not in Proverbs, but this is in the book of Ephesians. And it's talking about the first commandment, the promise. You know, children, obey your parents. The Lord, this is right. Honor thy father and mother. This is the first commandment, the promise. It may be well with thee. Thou mayest live long on the earth. And that doesn't mean that everybody that obeys their mom and dad is going to live all life. But that does, I think, it tends to that. It kind of tends to that. And my daddy took that literally. This is really kind of sweet to me. My dad was just had a childlike faith. And he had a heart attack, a real serious heart attack, when I was just a little boy. And my mother was younger than he was. And so mama was worried about daddy going to die. And he said, yeah, don't worry about that. I'm not going to die young. He said, God's word says if you obey your parents, that you live long on this earth. He said, I was good to my mom and daddy. He was good to them. In fact, he took care of them after they got old. And he outlived my mother 5 years. So I'm not saying that happened every time, but he got a lot of joy out of that. He got a lot of relief out of that. And it came true in his case. He lived real old, but he still lived long. Mama did. So we can have a good conscience and have good If we're obeying God, we can feel good about things. Yeah, right. It does make sense, doesn't it? Any more comments? I'll tell you young people this from a standpoint of somebody who's older than y'all are. The older I get, the more I wish I had never sinned. And I wish I lived a better life. I've tried to live a godly life, but I tell you, I hadn't done a perfect job of it. And you kids, I want y'all to really, really try. Brother Bobby, one time, I don't embarrass him, but I heard this. I thought he might have even preached it one time. But when he was a young man, the Lord got a hold of him. He actually made a vow he'd never sin again. And what a wonderful vow that was. Of course, he couldn't keep it. But that desire God put in his heart, what a wonderful desire. So we all do the best we can to live holy lives and live obedient lives. And like I said, I regret everything I've ever done bad. And the older I get, the more I regret it. And the thing I've been blessed to do right, I just praise God for it. It's only been by his strength. So please remember and heed God's word. It's not true. Young people have to sow their wild oats. That's not true. That's a worldly concept, an ungodly concept. The youth ought to be a time of really, really righteous living. Because then you prepare for old age and prepare for productive and spiritual life. Okay, let's get down to laziness versus diligence. And Bruce, we got a good guy. Bruce is a hard worker, so it's a good place to start. Bruce, I got a long section for you. How about Proverbs chapter 6, 1 through 11? This is going to be being diligent versus being lazy. And we know Bruce is a hard working man, so he'd be a good man to read these verses here. 6 through 1 through 11.
My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. When thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go, humble thyself, and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thy eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man.
All right, thank you. That's a real good picture, isn't it? Consider the ant, and don't be lazy. Okay, Sister Becky, will you read chapter 10, verse 4 for us, please, ma'am? Verse 4 and 5, both those verses for us, 4 and 5.
He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame.
Okay, those are good verses, aren't they? Okay, cross the aisle over here, Jake. Let's let Brother Richard read 12:27 for us. And old Richard's been a hard-working man, too. Got some good hard-working men in our church.
You say 13:4?
Yeah, no, 12:27.
Okay. A slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious.
All right. He's taking care of what he's got. He's not being lazy. He's not dissipating what he's got. That's a good one. Okay, Brother Jarrett, how about 13:4?
The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat.
All right. You know, we live in an interesting time in our country, don't we? Because at one time, hard work was really praised, and still we get somebody somewhere usually. But we all have heard jokes about our welfare culture, and we've all seen guys could perfectly healthy could work, and they're lazy, and we make jokes with them. It's already not all that funny, but I guess it's better to laugh sometime and cry. But I hope all of our people will be diligent. It's a good witness to be diligent. I knew a man one time who worked for a trucking company, and he he is always talking about the Lord, constantly trying to get people saved, stuff like that. But he wouldn't work. And I talked to his boss. He said, I just despise that guy. He gave Christianity a bad name. He said, he talked about he'd been a Christian. He said, I can't get a good day to work out of that cop digger. But all he does is just talk about, you know, trying to get people saved, stuff like that. That's not the right thing to do. So if we want to have an open ear to anybody, we got to be faithful and diligent in what we're doing. And later we're going to get into Proverbs 31. I may spend a whole time on that because I love that chapter about the virtuous woman. And she was not a lazy woman. That virtuous woman was a hardworking woman, which we got a lot of virtuous women in our church, the hardworking women. Sister Sarah, how about 14:23?
In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury.
All right. For we who talk a whole lot, that's kind of stiff on our toes a little bit. Okay, Brother Paul, how about 15:19?
The way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway.
All right, okay. Lane, how about 18:9 for us?
He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer.
All right, okay. Who's next over here? Let's see. Okay, Meredith, you'll read 19:15.
Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger.
Okay. And go ahead and read verse 24 since you got it there, since you got that chapter. This is kind of funny, but it's not funny, but there's some pretty graphic pictures here in Proverbs, though.
A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again.
All right. That's pretty lazy, isn't it? That is pretty lazy. Sometimes I get tickled with these proverbs, but pretty lazy. You paint a good picture. Timothy, how about 24 for us?
The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing.
All right. All you got to find is use. Brother Keeper, how about that same chapter? How about verse 13, 2013? Chapter 20, verse 13.
Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread.
Okay. Let me make a comment on that before we go a little bit further. We had a preacher meeting at Cincinnati back a few weeks ago, and they wanted me to make a talk on self-discipline, so I did. And I got on this sleeping stuff about sleeping too much. But I also, there's another side of that story, too. It's wrong to sleep too much, like I said in a proverb, but the Bible also says this. It says, he giveth his beloved sleep. So I wanted to kind of throw a disclaimer out there. Sometimes people turn into workaholics. They don't get enough sleep. They don't take care of their health. So there's a balance in there somewhere. And so I think the scriptures balance it out. And I just felt, I was going to just really hammer down hard on not being lazy. And I should have, but I can say, you know, there's a lot of scriptures that also there's another side of the story, too. We could get so worried, which is worries of sin, and where we couldn't sleep. So there's several scriptures, Psalm 3 and 4, I believe it is, and then, like I say, that verse over in Psalm 126, he gives his beloved sleep. And then sometimes that's what we need to do. So I don't want to make anybody feel guilty, just a good, diligent person. It's just, of course, there are some lazy people who sleep too much. But a person that's really diligent, we don't need to put too much on them, because, you know, that's we got to get the right balance of scripture. Okay, Sister Melissa, how about 21:25?
Melissa was just remembering about Elijah. She won't say so.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Thank you. I forgot about that. You read my mind. That's what Elijah needed on one occasion. He needed to sleep and eat. He was running from Jezebel. He had this real hard job of killing all the prophets. Like, well, if you kill 450 people, that's a pretty hard job. Can you imagine what that takes? God, 450 times. And he was really tired, and so when Jezebel got after him, then he started running, and so the angel told him, 2 times, you sleep and eat. So sometimes that's what you need to do. Like, yeah, you read my mind on this situation. All right, how about 21:25?
The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor.
And now imagine he wants it real bad. He got a lot of desire. He's not going to do anything about it. He's just thinking about it. Okay, Roy, how about 22:13?
The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. I tell you what, he come up with a pretty tall tale there. If you don't want to work, you can find an excuse not to work. Okay, Sister Lee, how about that 22:29?
Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men.
Okay, that's a good one. That reminds me of something that one time when we were in India, we ran across a guy who taught. He was a teacher. And we all know this. We've read a lot about this. I want you young people to listen to me. We need to be very diligent in everything we do. In our studies, in school, which that's work, plus our job we do. And he's pointing out, he had taught both American kids and also Oriental kids, because he did mostly work in the Orient. He taught me how much more motivated the Orientals were. And I've read some stuff even last night about the outsourcing, about India, about even China, believe it or not. And other places are doing a lot of outsourcing. How many engineers are turning out, and how diligent their studies are. And, of course, you can overdo that, because some of them make a god out of that, because they want to come out of poverty. So I'm talking about that. We still got to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. We shouldn't be workaholics and neglect our families and everything else just to get a better job. But still, though, we're perceived as being lazy in our country, and probably it's a pretty correct perception. But I want to encourage us, that's not God to be that way. We need to work hard. And that verse reminded me of that. You know, we're going to stand before kings. We're going to be please our employers. Jared's a hard worker. I've been bringing a lot of our men tonight, rightly so. And he's always been able to find a job, and people want him to work for him. He's got people trying to hire him away because he's a hard-working man. So if we find ourselves working hard, we're going to no doubt be in pretty good shape as far as our jobs are concerned. Let's read one more, and then we'll have to say this next one for next time. We're running out of time, but Ty, you get to read a lot, buddy. How about 24? Read those verses 30 through 34 for us. And then next time I'll have a few more categories plus this one that God hates, but I don't want to do that, Mike. We'd be going over time. How about chapter 24, verses 30 through 34?
I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And though it was all grown over with thorns and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man.
Okay, thank you.